Now Kroger. Oh, Kroger got the right hand free.
He's loose with the right hand, and he starts to retaliate. And down goes Nyland, and the two of them are hammering each other.
Knights of Columbus, that hurt.
It's old time hockey.
Enforcer of all hockey podcasts. It's the biscuit. It's the biscuit.
Damn it! That goal regulation size of what?
The enforcer of all hockey podcasts.
God help the fucking day if fighting's ever banned. There's a country will stop working on some Batman's fucking can.
Hi, everybody. It's the biscuit podcast.
Hey, you want to go? Yeah, okay. Good luck, man.
We're calling Shane right now. Shane Guilfoyle. Shane O'Mac.
Hello?
Shane O'Mac. Can you hear me?
Hold on, I can kind of hear you. Hang on, let me see if I can... Hello?
Now you can hear me.
There we go.
Hell yeah, how are you, sir?
Had the speaker off. There we go.
That speaker will project my voice into your ears.
It will, and it'll flow up to my cerebellum, and then I'll be able to process what you're saying.
Fresh off the boat, back to the homeland. How you feeling?
Good. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't tired. It was a freaking hell of a long trip. I was actually just telling somebody today at work that I had a much easier time adjusting to Hawaii time than I did adjusting back to Ohio time. I hit the ground running over there. I mean, it didn't take me any time at all.
Yeah, probably because it's fucking Hawaii. Jackass. No shit,
they
you get back to Columbus and it's rainy and shitty out and you're fucking bummed out, dude. But you didn't have to go cutting.
Yeah, so I just fucking cannot get going, man. I am just dead in the water.
You didn't have to become a cutter, though, when you came back.
Yeah, I'm still going with my story that it was an accident. But
for those that don't know, Shane of the History of Hockey podcast, friend of the show, went to Hawaii and came back. What, 3 days ago? 2 days ago?
2 days ago. Yeah,
and then just got out of the hospital today after almost cutting your finger off.
Today, yeah, I had to go. I had probably 20 minutes left in the day. And I had just put a fresh blade on my scalpel, and I swear to God, the first thing I did was slice through my hand.
And yet, you're still having a better week than Auntie Nemi.
Yes. Yes, somehow. Somehow. I despite his cup win in Chicago, I think no matter what happens in my life, I'll always be better off than Auntie Nemi.
I think he's going on a track now of erasing that Stanley Cup from everybody's minds.
Yeah, they'll be like, hey, who was the goalie in 2010 for the Hawks?
Yeah, it'll be
Auntie Nemi. No, definitely wasn't.
You'll hear, you know, Taves, Kane, Seabrook, Duncan, and then they'll be like, the goalie didn't fucking matter. That dude pissed his life away. Now, you actually met or had a chance to meet a very special person on your plane back to Ohio?
Yeah, from Phoenix to Columbus. my flight back was Hawaii to Phoenix, Phoenix to Columbus. And the most random meeting that I've ever experienced, you know, for myself. I'm walking on the plane, and typically I don't look at anybody in their seats.
Right.
I'm going back to where the pieces of shit fly in the back of the plane. Like I'm going back with my own kind where I fucking belong by the toilets.
You didn't take the HOH private plane?
Well, I would have. It was being serviced. Yeah. And so now normally I'm just like, okay, 23A, that's my seat. Laser beam focused in. I'm going to my seat. Fuck everybody else. I don't know why I started looking around, but I started looking at people in first class, and the second or third person I look at, sure as shit, is Willie O'Ree, the first African Canadian, I guess you call him, in the NHL.
Is that right? African Canadian?
I don't know. Do you go African American? African Canadian? I honestly don't know.
Well, black guy.
In any case, the first person of color.
Yes.
In the NHL.
Man, any way we say it, it doesn't sound good.
You're right.
Let's go African. Yeah. African Canadian.
We're going to get hate mail one way or the other.
Oh, we always do. It wouldn't be an episode of The Biscuit if I didn't get at least two or three pieces of hate mail.
I just, I've got my own image to uphold, so it's nicey. And so he's the first black player in the NHL, and he broke into the league in 1958.
Wow.
Now, that was a pretty shit, like, really any time for black people in America, it's dicey. Like, you live a dicey existence.
But 58, man, holy
shit. But 1958, you're playing with fire there.
Now, what is that relative to, like, say, Jackie Robinson or, how many years after all that is 58? I don't fucking
know. When did Robinson play in the 40s? Because now, and the reason I'm saying that is because O'Ree was born in the 30s, and he met Jackie Robinson twice when he was a kid.
Okay.
So that makes me think that Robinson was like late 30s, 40s. Kind of thing.
Well, you would think he would have played in the major league, in the majors, MLB, in the late 40s, right after World War II, I would assume. Tapped. We had a little technical difficulties there, but we are back with Mr. Mac Shane Guilfoyle, History of Hockey Podcast. Are you there?
I'm here. Let's hope that doesn't happen again.
Good God, dude. I swear. It's either God is real and he's wants me to quit the podcast because he knows what's happening on here, or it's Donald Trump, or it's Dark Guy.
or a combination of the three. They're all in league together.
Dude, that would be a fucking sweet movie.
Would be.
Probably.
League of, I don't know what you'd call it, anti-justice.
Something. Fucking weird dudes attack Cody. Well, it's a working title. We'll work on that.
Perfect. We'll workshop it later.
As I was saying, though, I would think Jackie Robinson had to play in the late 40s after World War II, right?
You know, I think so, but I'm so not up on a lot of my history of baseball like I would like to be. As much as I like the sport and I do like baseball, I don't know. I'm not as steeped in that stuff as
That's why you don't run that's why you don't run the History of Baseball podcast. So let's get back on fucking track.
Precisely.
Here.
Yeah.
So you meet Mr. Willie on the plane, and you actually can't even contain yourself and actually say something and say hello, right?
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So to get back to the story. So normally I never look at anybody. Fuck you. I'm going to my seat. I see Willie O'Ree, first black player in the NHL, and I lock eyes with him, and it was so like, it wasn't even a situation where it was like, hey, I know that guy, why do I know that guy? I immediately knew that it was Willie O'Ree, despite the fact that he's now like 82 years old.
Right.
I knew exactly who he was.
Right.
And so I'm like, Willie O'Ree is on my plane. I have to say something.
You have to.
Like, how often am I going to see Willie freaking Ree?
Never again.
Exactly. So I stop and I say, hey, you're Willie O'Ree. And he says, pardon me? And I said, you're Willie O'Ree. And he says, yeah. And I said, it's an honor to meet you, sir. And I shook his hand. He said, thanks.
Do you think he was taken back a little bit?
You know, I think maybe he was, because I didn't really have a whole lot to say. I was kind of like shaking a little bit, and I can't imagine a ton of people recognize an 82-year-old man who played professional hockey back in the 50s.
That's what I'm saying, dude. I would bet no one else in that airport, I'm almost positive of it.
Yeah, it was bonkers to see him. And so I really didn't know what to say. So then I go to my seat. And then I'm sitting there for like an hour, and I'm I'm shaking with joy. And I'm like, man, why didn't I say something else to him? Why didn't I just shake his hand and leave? I've got to figure out a way to get his picture. I couldn't stop. I couldn't hold up the line and do it right there.
Right.
But I've got to get a picture with this guy. So later, I pull the flight attendant aside and I say, you probably don't know this, but I've got a really weird request. But in first class, there's a black gentleman, an older gentleman with a fedora hat on. His name's Willie O'Ree. He's the first black player in the NHL. If this isn't too weird for you, would you mind asking him on my behalf if he would not mind getting a picture? And so she said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. So she goes up, asks him, and then about maybe an hour left in the flight, Willie doesn't have me go up to him. He comes back to me, gets me out of my seat, and we go to the back of the plane. He gives me an autographed card of his.
Fuck yeah!
And we take a picture, the one that I posted online.
Fuck yeah, like, man!
Dude, like the coolest, classiest dude that I could ever hope to meet.
And did I see he dropped the puck somewhere here recently?
Yeah, for like some team called the Blue Jackets or something.
Right.
and I talked to him a little bit, but I never really got to why he was coming into town. But turns out, at least part of his trip, he was dropping the ceremonial puck at the Blue Jackets game.
Dude, that's
so he was just fucking coming into town doing work and. And he's dropping the puck at the Blue Jackets game. So, I mean, I caught him and recognized him on, man, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I could not regret it less
now,
having, quote-unquote, bothered him.
Well, what's even more special about that is when you do an episode on it, you'll have, you know, that personal story. Because I'm sure that'll come up on the, you know, History of Hockey podcast.
Oh, it will. I've already got the book set aside and ready to go. It's actually more the reason that I haven't done one yet, and I'm actually very glad that I haven't, simply because this happened.
Right.
I really just have to write my notes for it, and then I want to tack on this story at the very end as kind of just my own personal little thing, and then. I'm really, really excited to do that episode.
Have you seen Soul on Ice?
I have not, but it's on my list, and I guess I wasn't even aware that it was officially out. I knew that Scorgie was working on it, but I guess I didn't realize that it was out.
I think you can get your eyes on it.
Gotcha.
You can get your, you know.
Understood.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean without you saying it.
Sorry, Scorgy. Well, let's get into this shit, dude. This is the second time I've been fucking recording these notes that I had. Sunday morning, I get up, try to record at 9:30 in the morning. Big Ran is hungover, not even out of bed. So I wait on him, start the podcast about 2 hours later, record an hour and a half of 69 jokes, beautiful fucking, you know, Big Ran's triumphant return, hungover, hilarious, hit stop on the recording at the end, and watch it disappear.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my God, dude.
You texted me about it, and I still get pissed off for you.
Oh,
I've had
dude.
The exact same thing happen to me, and literally nothing makes it better.
No, it's fucked up, and you know, you said that happened to you. The guys from Jet Fuel, the podcast in Winnipeg, said it happened to him before the season started. So, like you had said, and words trying to calm me down, it's just a part of the deal when you work with computers that, you know, sometimes it'll have, I mean, this isn't Joe Rogan's studio. I don't have backups going, things of that nature. So if something like that,
right.
You know, and I went to high school barely, let alone fucking like computer college class shit.
Right. And I'll say to you what Kelly of the Jacket Cast podcast said to me when I first started and screwed up literally my very first episode. Like I took the hugest dump on my very first episode. Same situation, where by the end of it, I had absolutely nothing to show for it. And she said something like, I don't think you're a real podcaster until you lose an entire episode.
Well, I can finally say, you know, 40 episodes in, I'm finally, and you know, after a year of doing it, I'm finally a real podcaster. And dude, I was so, fucking so pissed off. And my wife was just like, well, you're not going to quit doing it, so just re-record it, you fucking pussy. And I was just like, oh, okay. like that easy.
Like, what are you going to do? You're going to fucking quit?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I am going to quit. Fuck.
Fuck you.
Well, let's get into it, buddy. Brian Boyle's back, joining a hot, hot, hot New Jersey Devils team. He's practicing, is beating cancer. Now he's joining the first place ranked fucking Devils. They're looking good, yeah?
They are. And I don't know how much I buy into their longevity.
Right. They're very young.
I want to put out there that this is coming from a guy who has spent pretty much the entire season thus far in Hawaii. I left after like the second game of the season.
Right.
So I'm just now coming back and like figuring things out. I haven't seen any Jackets games. I had to listen to them all on the radio. So take that for what that's worth. But yeah, I don't know if I entirely buy into them yet, but if Boyle comes back and plays a significant amount of games for them, or maybe even not significant, he just comes back and he's really a part of the team. I don't see there's any way that he doesn't win the Masterton.
Oh yeah, it's got to go to him. If he gets a point, you know, or if he skates for 20, I mean, that's his award. And him coming in and playing, you know, I would assume fourth line minutes, which he has done, for, you know, the majority of his career. Is really gonna one shoot another fucking rail into this team and get them that piece of you know, that might be able to keep these young guys and be like, okay, this is an 82 game season, you know, let's listen to me for a minute, let me go out there, stir some shit up, let's score some goals. But I am also worried that, you know, with how young they are, that come December All-Star break, that they'll teeter off. But having him join the lineup and even be in the locker room cannot hurt.
Yeah, and maybe they do peter off. Maybe they just kind of you know, maybe this is the year that they just miss, and then next year,
right?
They come in and they make the playoffs with like a really solid seeding. You know, kind of like I said a few times last year when there was a lot of talk around the Jackets, you know, should they make a big blockbuster deal for the deadline? And I was against it because I felt like last year was not the year that they were going to make a really big push for the cup. I went on record several times saying I wanted them to wait a season before they made that big move for, you know, a Matt Duchene or somebody like that that could really push them over the top. And maybe New Jersey's in the same situation now. Maybe they miss this year by a little bit, and then next year they're right in it.
That's wise, man. And I'm sure you heard last night, since you've been back in the States, Lucas Sedlak going out for 6 to 8 weeks now for Columbus. So you mentioned that, you know, a blockbuster trade for Columbus coming, which – yeah, of course, bringing in Artemi Panarin is a big blockbuster trade, but you also lose Brandon Saad in that trade, and you don't.
Right.
And they've always needed, you know, with Wennberg's not. Wennberg's always been Wennberg. Of course, he's going to be on the top line this year because that's just, we don't have another person, or Columbus doesn't have another person. So, do you think it's time to strike now and maybe try to bring somebody in, or? Just kind of ride these young guys out, and, you know, because the team's good. I mean, they're doing just fine. But with Lucas going out, that really brings a hole in.
Yeah, it's tough to see a guy like that go down and with an ankle and go down so early and for such a long time. But I don't think it's – I certainly don't want to see a trade because of panic.
Right.
Like, oh shit, let's give, you know, whoever, whatever they want so that we can get player X.
That's a good point.
Get him into our lineup. Like, I don't want to make that move. And I wouldn't mind seeing what some of the guys in our system have to offer. And that's why they're there.
Right. That's very
right?
true.
And if we're not going to try them out, what the fuck are they doing on the team? Why do we have farm systems?
I'd still like to see PLD get a shot at center for what they brought him in for. I mean, yeah, he's playing hella great on the fucking wing, but I really think he can be a centerman in the NHL. And right now,
and maybe they will. Yeah,
right. And right now is a perfect time to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's you know, they've got a good record. They're what, 5-3-0 with a game tomorrow?
Right. Oh yeah. That's a fucking Wednesday night rivalry, bud.
Yeah, I mean I don't think you tell me, do you know of a bigger rivalry than the Buffalo Sabres and the Columbus Blue Jackets? Because I fucking don't.
Sports have been going on for what? Hundreds of years. Shane.
Dude, back to the Greeks. I challenge you to find a bigger rival.
Butt naked, butt fucking, nothing touches Buffalo versus the Blue Jackets. Alliteration aside, what the fuck?
Dude, I'll tell you this right now. I'm watching that game sans pants.
I would be shocked if you can find one person, even on fucking Twitter, that would go, hell yeah, this is a rivalry. And I get it, blah, 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 marketing, everybody has to have a game. I didn't know that everybody had to have a game on Wednesday night. I didn't think that was a real thing.
That's news to me. I had no idea.
Maybe it's just everybody has a primetime game, at least one.
Kind of like everybody has to have a representative at the All-Star game. We don't want anybody to feel left out. Everybody needs a participation trophy.
Yeah, of course. You know, why wouldn't you send Mike Smith from Arizona last year?
Wow.
And he was the best part of the All-Star game, though. Or not the game, but the fucking skills competition.
Yeah.
But so Buffalo, I mean, rain or shine, this team, or when Dominic played, they watch hockey, so you'd like to see Pittsburgh and Columbus, or literally almost any other team. I was shocked. I don't know. We're watching it. I don't know if I can handle Doc Emrick talking about the Blue Jackets for a whole fucking game, so I'm going to see how long I can go with that before I have to mute his old ass.
Yeah, it's a weird matchup for on both sides. It's not like they consider us a rival or vice versa. It's just like, oh shit, we needed a couple teams for a random Wednesday. Let's throw in Columbus and Buffalo. Like,
and the captain's
it's a weird choice.
The captain's brother's not even there, so you can't even market that. Like, oh, the brothers clash heads.
Yeah, he's in freaking Minnesota now.
Well, he's fucking, is he even back? He got his face broke, dude, by that John Hayden kid.
Yeah, I remember that, because he wasn't in the lineup when Columbus played Minnesota like a week ago or whatever.
Right, yeah, he got his fucking...
got tuned up.
Yeah, he got his face fucking collapsed. Well, while we're speaking of the captain, I know you've been in Hawaii, but... So the Winnipeg game, Foligno comes in, goes across the front of the crease in slow motion, pauses, freezes time, and just taps one right by, like I told Big Ran, yeah, it was Steve Mason, but come on. It was still like, this is the best goal of the year so far. Did you get a chance to see it?
I not live. I listened to that game, on the Blue Jackets app, and I managed to see some highlights afterward, and I do remember the goal, and it was just pure filth. It was all over Twitter.
That's a perfect way to describe it. It was filthy as fuck. It's up there for me, with that Rick Nash goal.
I was going to say the exact same thing.
You know, with like, as far as a Blue Jacket, a goal scored by somebody in a Blue Jacket sweater, like it's that Rick Nash goal, which if you're a Blue Jackets fan, you know what I'm talking about. And then this Foligno goal, man.
Yeah. I mean, just those two goals are in the pantheon of great Blue Jackets goals all time, for sure.
Oh, because you'll see that Nash goal on like top 50 goals of, you know, in the NHL history, because that thing was freaky good.
Yeah, and part of that Nash goal, too, was that he just minutes earlier had taken a penalty and given up a goal to the Coyotes and allowed them to tie the game. And then he gets out of the box and then pulls that shit, and then the Jackets take the lead again, and then end up winning the game.
Well, why was
so that? Like,
yeah, the even out of but in context, you're like, that makes it even more impressive.
Yeah. Like the goal on its own is fucking incredible, but then when you put it into the, you know, the context of the period and in the game, it's like, oh, holy shit!
Definitely the best Blue Jackets goal. I mean, ever.
Yeah, it's the individual effort on that is off the chart. I mean, there is no other Blue Jacket around him.
No,
two Coyotes and a Coyotes goalie, and that's fucking it.
There wasn't another Blue Jacket around him for practically 10 years.
Yeah.
So, well, while we're speaking of Mr. Nash, have you heard the chatter about him possibly coming back to Columbus?
I have heard maybe the desire.
Okay, that'd probably be a better way. That'd probably be a better way to describe it.
Yeah, So I have. I've seen some things online about people who want 61 to come back, and my take on it is no.
What's dead is dead, man. He's not a Blue Jacket.
No, his time is done. It's over. If he wants to do a farewell tour in his final season, we sign him to a 1-year thing, or acquire him at the trade deadline of his final year.
Maybe. Fine.
Yeah. Even then, we'll see where the team's at, and it's a maybe. And then you know, and do your farewell tour when it's time, but don't, like, don't take up cap space and
right.
roster spot on
a competitive team.
Yeah, like, we don't need you, we don't want you, just stay in New York and good luck.
Because
best of luck to you.
He hasn't been the player that he was since his first year in New York, in my opinion. I don't know if maybe Columbus just saw the best of his years and that was it, or if he's not.
I think we did.
Yeah.
I think we got the best of Nash, and that's kind of it.
Now, was Torts in New York with Nash?
Oh, maybe a season or two.
Right.
I don't quite remember the timelines matching up, but I think so.
Because that would have a huge part of it coming in, too. If Torts liked him, it would be more of a, you know, a possible thing. If Torts doesn't like him, you're not going to – I mean, go to Goodwill and find your Rick Nash jerseys because that's what's going down.
Right. And I think that he was there at least a season because Dubinsky was under Torts, and Dubinsky came over as a part of the Rick Nash trade.
Yes.
So
at least for a year.
He would have been under him for at least a little bit.
At least a season, I would assume.
Yeah.
And the thing with – and it's like it's all a desire right now, but it's the team's selling tickets. The stadium is full, you know, for most nights. It doesn't seem prudent to bring in Nash because I don't think he makes the team better, and you don't need him to put asses in the seats anymore. So it would seem like more of a circus fucking sideshow kind of thing, and I don't want that for this team because I think this team can actually get to that ultimate prize. I really do. I think this group of young dudes and with Bob, if Bob cannot be rushing in the playoffs and actually win, I would like to see this crew go with Panarin, you know, with this. I like this team.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the Nash stuff is nostalgia because now the team is good. So it's like, oh, hey, let's bring Rick Nash back now that we're finally good and give him what he never had, and it'll be what it was always supposed to be, and it'll be great, and everybody will be happy, and Rick Nash will win a cup here, and it'll be this, and it'll be that. And I just don't. You know, I just don't think we have the room for him cap space-wise or on the roster.
Yeah, what you do is you go back to, 2001, and you watch Ray Bourque win it, and then you can have your fucking nostalgic feelings.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that clip of him lifting the cup will never get old, so if you want nostalgia, go watch that.
Exactly. Until then, fuck off. We got a couple guys coming back, one from an injury, one from, I guess, drinking vodka with his cat, but Jaromir Jagr is back. He's in Calgary. And yes, I know it's been fucking 2 weeks, but I didn't do an episode on NHL news because I had Fourth Line Voice on, and he hasn't seen an NHL game since Link was in the league. And Big Ran and our episode got fucked Sunday. So that's why Shane and I are here tonight to cover the fucking next 2 weeks to get back on track. So Jagr is back. He signs with Calgary, Shane. Jaromir Jagr.
Back in the fold. I couldn't speak when I was a kid. I couldn't speak well, I guess. I used to call him Jammer Jagr.
I'm going to reuse a joke I used on Sunday's episode, and it was, you know, he's number 68 for a reason because he's always just one away from 69, and dude.
that hot young piece that tried to blackmail him with that photo a few years ago, I bet she knows all about getting that extra point.
Dude, did he even give a fuck that she took that picture?
No, the story that I heard was, one, she only blackmailed him for about $1,000.
What?
And Yeah, and then secondly, he goes, like, I give a shit. Like, release the photo, see if I care.
Yeah, he just and looked then, like a fucking pimp in it. He looked cool as hell.
Yeah, I mean, he's asleep. She was gorgeous. Like, what is there to hate about that?
Yeah, he's not married, never has been. What the fuck would he care?
Yeah, it's not like he's not cheating on his wife. He's not, she's not a prostitute. It's like,
it, was she? She could have been.
Yeah, she could have been. She could. Even if she was, who cares?
No, I'm not. No judgment here, man. Now, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, what is what, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe not even, some hot little thing took a picture of Yamir after they 69'd all night, and then the story we just said. But, so he's back, but now he's out. He is hurt. I don't know exactly what it is that is wrong with him. I don't know if he's just like came back a little too early and he's feeling a little fucking shady about it. Let me see here what it says.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what the injury is.
Oh, Shane, it's your favorite, the old classic lower body injury.
Yes. That could be anywhere from the hips on down.
So he's on IR. I'm not going to talk shit about Yamir Yager because enough people are doing it right now. We're giving him backhanded compliments for whatever reason. Listen, if you're a hockey fan, you're probably a Yamir Yager fan, unless you're from Philly or, you know, Detroit or something like that. I'm glad he's back in the league. I don't know if Calgary was the best fit. I would have liked to really see him get back to Pittsburgh and finish it out there for the year. You know, we were just talking shit about Rick Nash doing it, but I think with how Pittsburgh is, they just won two in a row. You know, the chances of winning three are slim to none. Why not bring in Yager for a year and, you know, why not?
Yeah, you know, and even if it's at the trade deadline, you know, he got traded to Boston a few years ago at the trade deadline, and they made a run all the way to the Cup. And they ended up losing to Chicago, but he ended up playing for another cup, and they, you know, they almost won. So,
and you might see him do better in Pittsburgh than he will do in Calgary.
Yeah, yeah, and you know that even though Pittsburgh fans feel
betrayed,
scorned by him for having chosen Philadelphia over Pittsburgh when he first came back from the KHL,
right?
You know they'd go mad once he was back in black and yellow.
Now, well, I was talking with Big Rand about this, and I've read in a few different places, you know, that people aren't so sure that Mario wants him, or even
oh, interesting, okay,
or if Mario even likes him because of that Philly thing.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that's his right. That makes plenty of sense.
Right, he is the big cheese, and. Funny thing, the year before he went back to the KHL, he actually scored 69 goals. The funny thing about that is he had an empty netter and, you know, could have scored his 70th, but threw it, the puck, up into the stands to the girl he later then 69'd that night. So, he's a beast, dude. He'll be fine. I'm sure he's just fucking a little tired or something. Was like, guys, just give me, you know, give me a couple days off here.
Yeah, you know, and he's in great shape, but he's playing the NHL is officially a young man's league.
Yeah, like, it is. We have entered a new era.
Are dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Much less people who are Yager's age.
If I heard somebody the other day, I forget who they're talking about, they're like, "Oh, he's 33. He's pretty much done." Like, holy fuck, dude.
Yeah, and like at the same time, like a normal person would be like, "What? 33? That's not so old."
Yeah,
like,
dude.
Even I'm sitting here like, dude, that guy needs to be out of hockey. He's too old. What is he doing? He could jeopardize his health.
Did you happen to see any of the? We're on a fucking. So Yager's back, and then the Beast from Ottawa came back the other day, and he's just back to business as usual. If you haven't seen Carlson,
what, lacerated ankle or something, Carlson.
He actually lost his foot, grew another one, and then he has like 6 assists and fucking like 12 minutes of ice time or something fucking insane. Like, he has picked up exactly where he left off, and the team around him is atrocious. I mean, even holy fuck, are they bad?
He's a special, special guy. And I agree with you. I don't think the team is that good. I don't particularly think Guy Boucher is that good of a coach. I don't actually see them making the playoffs this year. I see them doing exactly what the Tampa Bay Lightning did when Boucher coached them. They came within a goal of advancing to the Stanley Cup Finals in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and then everybody figured out that they had only one trick, and then the next year they missed.
Yeah, like, I agree. I think I had them missing as well, and that whole fucking place is going to be in trouble. Because if you have Erik Karlsson and you can't sell fucking tickets, I don't know what else to fucking do for you. You're in the capital city, like. It's Canada. Like, go to the fucking hockey game.
Yeah, I don't care if it's 20 minutes outside the city limits. You go and you watch that fucking game.
Yeah, it's, you guys have free transportation. You have free everything. To fucking take your horse there. You go to that fucking game. 20 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not the only place experiencing it, though.
He's a phenomenal player, and
once in a lifetime. We probably won't see a dude like Erik Karlsson by the time we die.
We might not.
He's doing fucking sauce passes from his zone to the offensive zone, and like on the blade in the playoffs. It's unheard of what he was doing. And if he continues what he's doing now, he's on his way to his, what, third Norris Trophy?
Yeah, he's that dude that it's like, like Lidstrom.
Yeah.
You know, when Nicholas Lidstrom was at the top of his game, it was like him and then everybody else.
Yeah, dude, it really is.
And now it's Karlsson and everybody else. And not that there aren't other fantastic defensemen. I don't mean that at all. But I mean, that dude is just he's a prodigy. He's a monster.
And consistent as all get up.
Yeah, yeah. He's not.
He hasn't really taken a season off yet. I mean, he's been
exactly.
He's been legit, man. He's something else. He really, really is.
He deserves talent around him, and
or he deserves to get the fuck out of Ottawa.
Or that, yeah, yeah. I mean, he deserves either a good team around him, or you know.
Now I don't know what
send him elsewhere and start building some other way.
Yeah, I don't know what his contract's like, but, man, I would love to see him get the fuck out of there if it continues to go the way that Ottawa's going. And they're not even the only team that's experiencing just no ticket sales whatsoever. If you have seen a Carolina Hurricanes game, they're reporting they're selling about 7,000 tickets, which really means, like, what, 4,000? That's a professional hockey team with 4,000 people in the stands, dude.
That's unbelievable. I periodically throughout the season, I'll check attendance and ticket sales and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I have yet to do it this year, but man, that is that's really sad. But
it's sad. But is it that shocking to anybody that Carolina is in a hockey town?
I mean, they've made the playoffs one time since 2006.
Really?
They won the cup.
Right.
They won the cup in 2006. And since then, they have made the playoffs one time.
And you take a franchise from New England and bring it to Carolina to to take him to Quebec, basically.
Yeah, you know, that's a weird situation because Peter Karmanos, the owner, at first he wanted to sell the team to somebody. The only way he would sell it is if they would keep it in Carolina.
Ah.
And then he wanted to he would only sell to someone who would keep him on salary and basically like basically give him a job with
the team. Who the fuck, what are you, so
right? And then the latest development, at least latest that I know of, I should say, is that he's like, all right, I'm gonna sell the team. Like,
yeah,
just get me the fuck out from under this team. And so with that being the case, the latest news that I know of, who knows what happens to him? Because now
and they have a good team, Shane.
Yes, yeah, they do.
So if you can't sell tickets with this team, I mean, bar bringing in fucking Yamir Yager or some fucking, you know, kind of shit like that, this is as good as it's going to get. And, I mean, it wouldn't be, I mean, you know the NHL, you know, better than most humans. Teams tend to move back and forth here and there. So it wouldn't be that crazy for them to go to Quebec, and because last thing I had heard that Quebec has a stadium ready to go, just waiting for a team.
Oh, they've had a building ready, and in fact, the Videotron Center or Centre de Videotron, that is.
Whoa! No fucking French on the biscuit, bro.
that's where the Quebec Remparts play their junior team. And they sell out for their junior team a lot of nights.
The team that made the Friends song? I think we talked
exactly,
about this
one. I think we made that too.
I think we talked about that once.
Yeah, you know, and Patrick Waugh, I'm fairly certain, still owns that team. And you get the Quebec Nordiques back in there, and then maybe all of a sudden Patrick Waugh's back in the league.
Oh, I like what you're fucking laying down there, man. Who wouldn't be stoked about the Nordiques being back?
I don't think there's a person alive. I mean, because people our age are going to love it for the nostalgia.
Yes.
And then people in the city are going to love it because they have a team back.
Yes.
And I think they get a team eventually. I just don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. You know, is it going to be Carolina, maybe? Is it going to be the Islanders if they don't get their building situation
figured out? Dude, I can't even fucking talk about that goddamn team, dude. That franchise, you went from winning basically all of the 80s to what's happening now. It's just fucking sad. I can only imagine what it's like to be an Islanders fan and have to, like, wake up and go, what the fuck is happening? There's a car in the corner. Tavares is checked out. We used to win the Stanley Cup every year. We had a badass stadium where we never lost, and now we can't even get ice.
Yeah, I mean the like
since that dude bought the team for like $1,000, that team has been a shit show.
It's tough being a Blue Jackets fan because the team is always, you know, historically they've been really bad. But do you think it's harder being an Islanders fan knowing what they used to be?
100%, dude. 100%. I mean, it's now getting to the point in Blue Jackets history where, like, okay, let's win a playoff series. But before last season, it was like, fuck yeah, we're in the fucking playoffs. Fuck yeah, we went over 500 games. New York, they're going, oh, my dad watched these guys win fucking four cups. You know, now he's
watched, yeah,
you know,
yes,
what I mean?
Like, people our age are telling our children, oh, yeah, I kind of remember maybe the Islanders winning one, or but really what it is, it's grandpa loved the Islanders.
Yeah.
Grandpa was watching the Islanders. Dude. They did all of these things. And it's like, dude, that's got to be fucking rough.
Yeah, dude. For sure, man. And, you know, if they don't figure it out, you know, that's a good point. What you're either going to see Carolina or New York, I think, move somewhere. And then I think ultimately you'll see Seattle get that 32nd team. And then for God's sakes, don't add any more fucking teams into this league.
Yeah, I think you're bang on with that. I think Quebec probably gets...
I think Quebec's going to absorb somebody.
Because you can't really expand there because that just further throws shit off.
Yeah.
And then Seattle gets an expansion team. And then, like you said, just be done. Like...
That's it.
No more.
That's it.
No more.
That's it. 32 is so many fucking teams.
Yeah, it's enough as it is.
30 seems like the right amount.
It really did. 30 was a nice, like, psychologically satisfying number.
I agree.
But man, just no more than 32, please.
So, Shane, I'm sure you're aware of some of the new rules that have come into the league this year with the face-offs. And I don't really mind the face-offs being the way they are now. But I do mind the slashings. Have you – this is – I heard – I think it was Andy Picaro on the Unhealthy Scratch podcast mentioned – you know, if somebody does get slashed in the hand, it's a 4-minute. Enough of this fucking you can't play defense in the league now.
Is it
there is a region on the stick from, you know, say not quite halfway but a little up higher to, if you touch that at all while you're on it's slashing. It's 2 minutes.
Yeah.
There has been like 4,000 slashing calls, which they want power plays for more points, but I'm a fan that's never – I've never thought there's been a problem with goal scoring, just to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
And now it's – you have taken – and it's going the direction of like professional football where you might as well just fucking let the offensive dude go by you and then, you know – hope that he fucks up and then take the puck the other way because you can't play defense anymore.
And yeah, at least not with your stick or I mean, you know, are you limited to poke checks and that's it?
Who's the dude that does the TV games with Jody?
Jeff Rimmer?
Yeah, dude, I thought he was going to fucking blow a gasket talking about it, man. He's like, well, we used to call that defense, and he was so pissed. Like, it was so good. It was just classic him, you know. Him and Jody going off about it was fucking hilarious. And Jody's trying to calm him down, like, well, that's, you know, the league now, Jeff. And he's like, we used to call that defense, Jody.
Yeah, you know, Rims is he's just an old school dude. I mean, he's broadcast everywhere, from my understanding. He's done it in Montreal. He did Montreal Expos baseball games. He did Florida Panthers hockey games. I think he was in Washington for a while. Like, he's been around forever, and so I totally get it.
And you're hearing it league round, like, everywhere. I mean, Mickey Redmond was bitching about it. Like, yeah, it seems to be a lot of the older guys, but those are the guys that have those jobs, you know, commentating. You don't see a lot of 30-year-olds in the fucking box. Paul Bissonnette, though, is on the fucking radio for the Arizona Coyotes. How badass is that?
That's pretty cool. I'm glad he got that.
Yeah, I'm sure he kills it, too. It makes me want to kind of listen to him on the radio just to fucking hear him go.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would like to see it, you know, because you can't have dudes fucking Sidney Crosby and around cutting people's fingers off. So if... You know, but then it's a judgment thing on the refs, but that's what they're ultimately there for. So if you see someone fucking hit someone's hands, and I always thought that's what the call is supposed to be. If you slash somebody in the hands with your stick, that's slashing. Not if you touch their fucking stick, you're, you know. But what the fuck do I know? Four minute penalty. That's what I want to see. I haven't heard anybody happy about it. Let me say that. I haven't heard one fucking person happy about it. So as I talk about Mickey Redmond and the Wings, I also wanted to mention I've heard a lot of chatter on the internet about empty seats in Detroit, which the team is reporting that they're selling out the stadium. I think a lot of what you're seeing is people looking at the new stadium because it is brand new. My wife wanted me to tell all of you, fuck you. We can do what we want at the hockey game. If we don't want to, something like that, basically saying fuck you if you don't like it. But there are, I mean, it was like that at the Joe too. People be out fucking partying in the concourse. It just kind of happened that way. I've lost Shane. I don't know where the fuck he went, but I've got to continue on. This fucking technology dude is driving me fucking bonkers. I can't win. I either have a hungover co-host, you know, a fucking old gravy face, but I'm going to continue on for you guys because I love you. And I love doing the show, and I appreciate you all listening. Go rate and review us, iTunes. I want to do a quick little injury report because there seems to be guys fucking falling left and right. The Ducks, poor Ducks, man. They got fucking Vantanen's out. Kessler's out. Miller's out. Eves is out. Fowler's out. That's not good for the Ducks. The Pacific is weird right now. It's pretty much wide open with Edmonton doing as shitty as they are, Anaheim being as banged up as they are, and San Jose trying to decide if they're going to be good or not. I don't think Vegas is going to be Vegas as Vegas is right now for much longer. And I do want to mention their ceremony they had for, you know, after the unfortunate events out there. When they opened up their game, first home game, they had all the captains from the NHL, you know, saying, we stand with you, Vegas. And I thought that was a nice sentiment. And then all the players that were introduced came out, the first responder or, you know, a nurse or whatever. It was touching. And then the 58 seconds of silence was one of the more emotional tributes I've seen at a sporting event in my life. So my hat's off to that organization. And, you know, but they're going through the fucking, you know, as I'm talking about injuries, they're having a shit ton of injuries themselves. I'll just go down to them. And I mean, they've got Stoner's out, Clarkson's out, Gavrovsky, Fleury, but I heard Fleury is going to be skating here soon. So he'll be back in. And then Malcolm Subban comes in for him and plays the best hockey of his life. And then unfortunately for him, he goes out. So they're on their third and fourth goalie, which can't be good. And Eric Hula is also out for them. Some of the other bigger injuries around, Antti Ranta and Chikrin for Arizona. I think with them coming back, they might actually win a game this year. Poor, poor Boston Bruins. Spooner, Rask, McQuaid, Krejci, Kevin Miller, and putting foils on, which I thought Boston would have a pretty good season. They still can turn it around, but I'm a little worried about them at this point. The Sabres, Blue Jackets' biggest rivalry, Falk's out, and a bunch of fucking other guys. Boulot, I like him. I'm fucking suck a dick. Blackhawks, Tutu's out. I don't think you'll see much of him. And then Hossa obviously doesn't count, but he's out as well. Tyson Yost for the Avalanche. Lucas Sedlak and Gabriel Carlson for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Lucas Sedlak is going to be a bigger injury than I think anybody is giving attention to. He's a big part of that team. The Wings still listing Johan Franzen out and DeKeyser. Johan Franzen hasn't played since 2015. He's done, but he's on the payroll, so he has to be mentioned. Edmonton just sucks. Luongo's out. Gabrick's out for the Kings. Minnesota, I heard Parisi skated today, so that's going to help them. Niederreiter and Coyle are also out. Bonino, and my man, my older brother's favorite player, favorite human, Ryan Ellis, are out for Nashville. Corey Snyder's out. Say what? That's not good. Bobby Ryan out for the Senators. Pittsburgh's in the Pittsburgh. Two fucking losers out for them. Bowmeister, Fabry, Sanford, and Perico for the Blues. That's you know, that's pretty much it. Niskanen, Burkovalski for the Washington Capitals is out for like 6 to 8 weeks. That is going to hurt them tremendously. I don't think that's going to go well for Washington. And I was sketchy about Washington anyhow. And that's going to get you into who's hot and who's not with your boy, William Bartram. And when I say who's hot, who's not, I mean buying or selling. These are some teams I've been hearing about. I'm going to tell you if I'm buying or I'm selling. Boston. Boston Bruins. I think I'm going to have to sell. I'm not buying it. I'm worried. I'm selling. Arizona, you got to sell. They haven't fucking won a game. I had them in the playoffs. I'm the asshole. LA Kings. You got to buy this year. If all these guys stay healthy and keep playing like that, they haven't lost a fucking game. The Golden Knights of Las Vegas, or the Vegas Golden Knights, as they prefer to be called. I got to sell hard on those guys. Just don't think it's going to work. Tampa Bay, Lightning, buying with Canadian money. I'm buying with Ethiopian money. I'm buying with all the money. Buying. New York Rangers, they fucking suck again. Finally. Sell. New Jersey. Sell. And Philly, I'm going to buy in on Philly. I'm buying in on Philly, and I'm selling on the Avalanche. And if I hear one more fucking Steve Duchesne joke, I'm going to fucking cut my fucking ears off, and it's going to be your fault. I don't know who started it. I don't know why it's continuing, but Matt Duchesne is Matt Duchesne. Steve Duchesne wasn't even spelled the same as Matt Duchesne. It was barely funny the first time when I heard it from Rear Admiral on Spitting Chicklets, and now I've heard it twice more. Quit it. Quit it now. Got some trades to talk about. My man, Cole Sherwood, was traded from the Flint Firebirds to the Kitchener Rangers. He is a Columbus Blue Jackets prospect and will be a stud. He'll be up in the AHL next year anyhow, so that doesn't really fucking matter. Scott Wilson comes over to the Detroit Red Wings for Riley Sheehan. Detroit got the better part of that deal, that's for sure. Riley Sheehan has been invisible for two seasons, so good luck with that. They also traded, what was the second trade they did? Was it Pumple? Sproul? Let me look it up, because I don't remember. Give me a second here. Probably take me to fucking Darren Sproul, some bullshit. The Rangers trade Matt Pumple to the Detroit Red Wings for Ryan Sproul and some picks. It gives Detroit a lot of wingers, and you know they've made all these trades to clear cap room for Andreas Anthonisiou. And it worries me about my man, Luke Witkowski. I don't want to see him not play. He's one of those tough guys that, you know, will still throw him. Not quite an enforcer, but as much as an enforcer as you're going to see in the league now. And, there you go. Luke Witkowski's not even in now. David Booth got the fucking go-ahead tonight. So that, you know, that's going to bum me out if they end up taking him out of the roster. Unless they can trade him. You know, because I definitely do not want to see him not playing. Yeah, he was scratched tonight. Fucking lame. But that gives them so many fucking forwards. There's, you know, only some. And when Bertuzzi comes back, he's getting a roster spot. So I don't know. That's fucking weird. I got a couple fuckboys of the week for you. One is Cam Talbot. Win a fucking game, please. Jesus Christ. And then the refs at the Vegas-St. Louis game. I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. I heard a lot of people talking about it. Supposedly it was a really bad call. So that's the other fuckboy. Fights of the week from last week would be Tom Wilson absolutely murdering Blake Coleman. Blake, don't ever fuck with Tom Wilson again, please. And Berwitzky and Dorsett, who Dorsett might be the best player in the NHL right now, but they drawed. Berwitzky took a fucking run at his teammate. Dorsett came in, did what teammates do. They fought. Good punches from both men. Those are your two fights of the week. I'm doing the league leaders. I'm getting out of here, guys. I can hear fucking turmoil in my house right now. So I got to get this. Got to get this fucking show on the road. I want to thank Shane Guilfoyer for coming on. He just texted me here and says his internet's fucked up. So somebody is definitely fucking watching the biscuit and trying to ruin me. But you can't stop me. I won't ever stop. I can't stop. I love the biscuit and I love you guys. Offensive leaders, Steven Stamkos in points with 18. Nikita Kucherov with goals with 10. He had that streak. Pretty amazing shit. What, he goes first seven games with a goal? He's on his way to win an MVP. Assists, Steven Stamkos, 15. Well, maybe he'll win MVP. Plus minus, Mr. Matthews, Captain America, plus 10. Holy fuck, young man. These are surprising to me, the goaltending stats. Goals against average is Michael Neuwirth with a 1.36. Save percentage, same man, 9.57. Vasilevskiy has the most wins with 7, and he has the most shutouts, tied with a bunch of people with 1. We'll be back at it Sunday. We got to get all this fucking shit figured out. Thanks for sticking with me, guys, and thanks for listening. Go follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, The Biscuit Podcast. Listen to us. Rate and review, please. I cannot stress to you enough how much that means to the show. Just leave it 5 stars and say I love it. There, I wrote your review for you. On iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher Radio. Go donate at Parker's Platoon. Go get a shitty cooler. Lucid Float Spas. Always sponsors every episode. Go to Mount Vernon, Ohio. Go take a float. Tell them the biscuit sent you. It's half off on me. Freedom. Hockey. The Biscuit.